Next on BYUSN, make it 6 in a row for Cougar men's basketball as they take care of West Virginia by 21 points. What was more impressive, the Cougars' offensive or defensive performance? Now with two games to play in the regular season, how is BYU's team this year prepared for the NCAA tournament compared to last year's team?
Head coach Kevin Young and big man Fus Traore recap the win over the Mountaineers and preview a big game at Iowa State. Plus, why one college basketball expert believes BYU will win the Big 12 tournament.
Let's go.
Are we buying that or is it an overreaction?
It's sometimes what we do on this show. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is a winning Monday, March 3rd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who was pulling serious duty over the weekend, both here in studio and at the Marriott Center, Blaine.
We just swapped. That's all we did. We just swapped. Like, you came over here, had to host. We had, I don't know where everybody was, but it doesn't matter. You and I are interchangeable.
Let's go. You know what,
No, we're not interchangeable. I just try to fill in for this
It
guy.
Was Oscars weekend, so naturally we had to send our red carpet reporter to the Marriott Center to handle all the star power in that building.
I'm going to say my favorite thing about being over there was that Elder Holland came to the game and came over and gave me a hug, which just made my whole night.
Incredible.
The win, everything was great. But the hug from who I still call President Holland from being president of the university was my favorite part of the whole night. President Holland wasn't the only star in the stands.
He
that
was
night.
The leading star.
Yeah, the stars were out at BYU the other night. It was fun. West Virginia, that West Virginia game, A.J. DeBounce was hanging out in the rock in the front row having a blast.
And just living it up, making his way through the entire student section, right?
Yeah. So fun. Like, he tested both sections. He went and he made him cheer on one side, then cheer on the other side, and he chose the side that cheered the best. He's getting around. He is loving his association with BYU.
He's
and BYU is loving it. And how about the chain? So that was fun. And it's fun to have him in the building.
Then some of you, and I feel the pain for parents who have to watch High School Musical again and again and again. Notably, I'm in that group, but hey, whatever. Hey, Coach Bolton from High School Musical in the house.
Yes, he was.
Listen to this.
Hey, it's me. It's Coach Bolton here. And Cougars, get your head in the game.
Where's Troy Chat?
Well, Coach Bolton, nothing like Coach Bolton. High School Musical, of course, filmed here in Salt Lake City. So it's a cult favorite around the country, but especially here.
Hey, that dude, that actor, especially he's here in Yellowstone, Blaine.
Yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's a big deal.
He's
a big deal.
He's a big time guy. So
oh, great
that
stuff.
That was fun.
All right, we got the important stuff out of the way. It's, again, Oscars weekend. We got to go with at least one actor, right?
That's right.
Who was in that.
We had an actor. We had a future NBA first round draft pick. And we had Elder Hahn.
And an apostle.
Yeah. We have more than one.
Let's go. So. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
That was ultimate tale of two halves. Our defense held us down while we were trying to figure out how to get in some kind of an offensive rhythm. They're going to take away a three-point line and just get to the rim. We have different ways we can score. You know, we're not a one-trick pony. I think tonight that was on full display.
A BYU Rocky Mountain High was on full display, for that matter. What's Trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. The 25th-ranked Cougars win a sixth straight game, 77-56, and frankly, the final score was not indicative of how not close that game was. 21 still good, but I mean, it was a straight-up blowout, Blaine. BYU is 21-8 overall. They're 12-6 in Big 12 play, tied for fourth with Iowa State. Here we are, incredible, final week of the regular season, tied with Iowa State for potentially a top four place in the Big 12. Head coach Kevin Young spoke about what he was most proud of in that 21-point win.
I think the defensive effort in the first, really the tale of two halves. First half, it was our defense. You know, second half was, as you mentioned, being able to score in a way that we read the game. So we, you know, we have highly intelligent guys in our locker room. So, you know, like I said, we're not a one-trick pony. You know, if teams are going to give us threes, obviously we'll take them. But if they try to take that away, you know, we have other ways we can hurt them.
Amen to that. Okay, Blaine, more from your conversation with Kevin Young in a little bit. BYU's offensive and defensive performance, both very, very good. But which was more impressive, Blaine? Was it what the Cougars primarily did with a 52-point outburst in the second half, or was just overall their defensive performance against West Virginia?
I'm going to go with the offensive performance, especially because that second half and the 52 points in the second half,
first of all, it was so unbelievably efficient offensively. And second of all, it's because it was made on an adjustment. You know, I talked to Chris Burgess before the game when we did a pregame show, and he said the key to this game is pace, pace, tempo, tempo. We got to get out and run. We need to get open shots. This is a really good defensive basketball team. And we think about this. No Big 12 team this season has scored more than 75 points on that defense.
Until Saturday night.
Yeah, and 52 of those 77 in the second half. Are you kidding me with
this?
And points in the paint. I love, you know, Kevin Young said, hey, we just sent a message to everybody. We're not one-dimensional. We just don't get out and run and knock down three-pointers. If somebody decides to take that away, if they spread the floor out, there are other things we can do to hurt you. And they certainly did. 23 of 29 in the paint, 46 point paints, most in a Big 12 game. And then they were 0-for-4 from three in the first half, 5-for-7 in the second. They took what the defense gave. Okay, if you're going to spread out, and you're going to one-on-one foos in the paint, you are going to pay for that. And they were wheeling and dealing. The guards were playing down. You saw Dallin Hall right here feeding foos. You see Yegor getting down. Here comes Richie Saunders downhill and finishing at the rim. They said, you spread your defense out. You give us one-on-one matchups with our guard. We're going to take you to the hole. And if you adjust and rotate, we're going to dish it to our bigs, especially to foos, and we're going to make plays at the rim. It was unbelievably efficient. Those five threes in the second half came at a good time when West Virginia finally started to go, we got to help a little quicker. Okay, fine. Now we'll go back to what we do. So the fact that they did something different and still were unbelievably efficient gives my nod to the offense in this one. As incredible as the defense was, and Kevin Young alluded to the fact that they kept them in the game because the defense was so good in that first half, I'm going to give the nod to the offense. What do you think?
This is like asking me to pick a favorite child. I can't pick a favorite child. I'm not Deion Sanders, who has, like, his child ranks through the weeks.
Yeah, Shador's his favorite. Shador's his favorite.
Shiloh's my favorite. Okay, well, now it's back to Shador. I can't pick a favorite child. But for the sake of discussing BYU's defense, let's just look at this. I agree with you. I think the 52-point outburst for me gives the edge to the offensive performance overall, because BYU had to adjust. They did. They got to the rim, and I'm using words of the coaching staff in the huddle, we have to be violent in our attack of the rim. Richie Saunders spurred that. Dallin Hall and Yegor Demon finding Fusini Traore. I agree with you. It's the offense by a hair. But BYU's defense, when things were weird in the first half, kept them in control. They held West Virginia to 19 points in the first half. I know that the Mountaineers aren't going to get up and down, Blaine. They are not a team that minds, frankly, a game at halftime if they're in the 20s. They couldn't even get to 20, though. 19 points. So that shell that Will Voigt and Kevin Young talk so often about was very tight. They rebounded the ball really well. They just engaged in the combat zone. And I love to see BYU play with that physicality when the offense wasn't working. In fact, I thought it was very keen of A.J. DeBonta at halftime when I talked to him. I said, hey, you have seen 20 minutes, and what's happening here? How would you attack West Virginia? And he said, I would start on the defensive side like BYU is doing. Defense will generate into offense. It will eventually start to pay off. And is that not exactly what we saw?
It did. It did. And what a job, like, Mag and Stewart and Richie was on him at times, Saunders on him at times, did on Small. Like, he's an elite player. Seven times he's gone over 20 points this year. Their whole offense. Those guys shut him down. And then the help defense was there. And they made it, hey, nobody else is going to beat us, so certainly Small is not going to beat us. And they didn't let him beat him. So I'm with you. I'm giving a slight nod to the offense, but I'm very pleased with the way the defense played. And the game never felt in doubt, even though it was close in the first half. And how about Foose's performance?
Incredible. I don't understand why West Virginia continues to think, all right, well, we're going to take away the three-point shot. To their credit, they did a fantastic job of that for much of the game, fanning out defenders. They were forcing BYU to go inside. But they have never had an answer for Foos. Not in any game they played in the Big 12. They do not have an answer for him. When will they try something else?
It's so, like, you watch, as we're watching here, his patience with his footwork. When he's just one-on-one, he knows he's going to score. His touch is good. And as we look at his numbers and this double-double he put in on Saturday night, 20 points, 9 of 13 from the field.
Incredible.
10 boards, 2 assists, 55.6% from the field, which is just, that's just become normal for him. That's actually a little below what he does, right?
Isn't that wild?
He was incredible. And we're going to get to this later. We're going to have a chance to hear what Foose thought about it. But he's so understated about it. He's just matter of fact about it. Like, but you know in his mind what he's thinking is, you're going to guard me one-on-one?
Okay.
Like, I will score every time I touch the
good
ball.
Good luck.
And here's what I know Kevin Young's thinking that. I know Kevin Young's going, wait a minute here. They're going to play this shell defense and spread four guys out on the perimeter and leave our guy in the paint one-on-one?
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? Guys, get downhill. And so it's pretty fun when he's one-on-one. And all-time field goal percentage leaders in BYU history, Foose sits number one. 61%.
You're going to ISO that guy
in
the
come
post?
On. Stop.
You're going to attempt to guard him solo in the post. When they finally did bring a double team late in the second half, what does he do? Nonchalant. Quick pass out to Yegor Demet, bam, three-pointer, and it's like, all right, what do we do? To my point, West Virginia opted to let BYU beat them with Foose last year in Morgantown, and all he did was go for 24 points and 9 rebounds. Yeah. What did they see in that performance that made them think that this was going to be okay?
They watched the last couple games and said, these guys are killing people by knocking down threes. You know, they made 17 threes in the other game. Okay, that's the number one priority, and let's see if we can deal with Foose. Obviously, they cannot.
For one half, to their credit, it worked, right?
Yeah.
They held BYU to 25, but the Cougars and that staff and the team made the correct adjustment. Incredible. Now, just to give you some numbers on the defensive performance, Blaine and I are in agreement here that we think it was
slight nod to the offense.
The edge to the offense. It was just so impressive. That second half was incredible, and Foose, who we've been talking about. The 56 points that BYU gave up, tied for second fewest allowed versus a Big 12 team this season. 33.3% from the field goal range, lowest percentage allowed versus a Big 12 team this season. BYU did that. And then under 30% three-point shooting again. I mean, this is...
This team can defend the three, and that's been a problem in the past, but it's because they have so much length and so much quickness, and inserting Mag into the starting lineup and playing Stewart more minutes has resulted in... They're very good. That brings up this question now, though. They're very good on both ends of the floor. So I'm going to ask, how prepared is BYU for the NCAA tournament compared to last year at this same point?
I'm leaning heavy on just the experience that the veteran core got last year in what was a very frustrating game against Duquesne. And BYU was more reliant on the three-point shot last year. Were they not?
Yeah, they were not. They didn't have the ability to flip the switch like they did the other night and just attack like they did the other night. So
they were not as organized and physical in their ability to adjust their offensive game plan and score inside. Not that they couldn't do it last year. They were just geared a different way. Their whole scheme was set up to primarily focus on let's work our actions all on the perimeter. And they had a center in Ali Khalifa that could shoot the three. So, again, that was that team.
It's a different team.
It worked. This is a totally different team. They're more physically sound. They're ready to get in the combat zone. I like that the physicality is there, and I like that this team has now, with Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall and Foose Traore and Trevin Nell, and these guys know what the tournament is about because they have been there. That is worth something. How do you quantify that, though? How do you quantify experience and a tough experience at that? I don't know, but that makes me feel like BYU is ready, and that's the most important thing to me, is because they know what it takes to get there, and now they know what it takes to win a game there, having gone through a really difficult experience.
Experience and depth. Like, you know, they're playing 10 guys at times, and they all understand their role. And we were just looking at that resume compared to last year.
It's better last year.
Yeah, and in our resume, we had their total wins – including tournament in Big 12 play, and they were 12-9 last season, 12-6 right now. So they're certainly going to eclipse where they were last year.
Yeah, they've already
11-9.
They've already 11-9,
and that includes the Big 12 tournament. So they're already ahead. They're going to get a couple more Big 12 wins. Like, I don't know about Iowa State. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I feel like they get to 14-15 wins.
If you include the tournament.
If you include the tournament now.
Okay.
So they're much better there. Remember, last year's team was number one in the net at one point early in the season because of their preseason success. But as you go into March, remember what Kevin Young said to us right at the start of the season. I'm not that concerned about where we are right now because I've got things to learn. This team got things to learn. We've got a tremendous amount of talent. We've got great depth. I care about where we're at in March. And now here we are in March.
BYU's won 10 of 12.
10 of 12.
Six in a row.
They're all of a sudden ranked. We weren't even talking about this craziness 2 weeks ago. And now we're like, they're locking the Are they a bubble team? What? 3 weeks ago, they may not make the NCAA tournament. Now they're a lock in the NCAA tournament. We're saying, can they play themselves into a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament? It's a different feel this year because of the way they're finishing.
Yes.
And so I just feel like they're in better shape than they were last year because of the way they're trending, yeah, and how well they're playing on both ends of the floor and because of the pieces they have in place. Kaba Kate is one of those pieces. Yegor Demon's one of those pieces. We got the veterans, and there's some new pieces. How about Kaba again? We watch him throw the ball down here on a fast break that's an easy run out that the guy's going to dunk, and he just erases the shot in transition. How many times are we going to see that this year?
So it happens once a game at least.
And the 1-2 punch of Kaba and Foose, offense, defense, is tremendous. They're in a better position, and I love it. So.
Couple of notes. Can we just give some credit to the passing by Dallin Hall and Yegor Demon to set up Foose on Saturday night?
Yeah.
In small and tight spaces, Blaine.
Yeah.
And late in the shot clock. They're so good. The point guards for BYU combined for 23 points, 9 assists, and 1 turnover.
Yeah, that 1 turnover is my favorite part. That's why we highlighted it in yellow. The 1 turnover is my favorite part of that whole stat line for those 2 ball handlers. It's incredible. So
yeah, to say the least. Just so impressed with their development and their ability to adjust and adapt within Kevin Young's offense and his scheme. It took a while. BYU is obviously on a heater here. Their numbers, as far as an NCAA tournament selection process go, are not as good as last year, because I keep having people say, Spencer, this feels like a better team than last year. Why were they given the 5 or 6 seed treatment at this point of March compared to where they're on the 8 seed land? Right? It doesn't make sense.
Yet.
It's because the metrics that the selection committee are looking at are just not as good as they were last year. But can they get closer to that? And then BYU sneaks up to a 7, maybe a 6 seed.
How about we start with a win tomorrow night at Iowa State?
Let's go. That would swing things significantly.
Changes the game a little bit.
On the seed line again.
And regardless of seed and net and where they end up,
yeah,
you know, we got a great question of the day.
Yes, let's get right to it. Has BYU men's basketball already accomplished more this year than last year's team did? This is a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
Obviously, last year's team did earn a 5 seed, really, but slid to a 6 seed because of no Sunday play, everything they did. But are you ready to be like, nope, they never had a 6-game win streak.
Right.
They never won 12 games in the regular season. What do you think?
Yeah, back it up. Tell us what you think and back it up. Like, why or why not, right?
Caleb Plew on X answers, last year's team was ranked number 1 in net early in the season. Yes.
Right, right.
It's pretty hard to beat. Even after they lost that rank, they stayed in the top 20 all year. If this year's team can get a win in the big dance, then I will say they accomplished more. Okay, Caleb wants a win in the tournament as the determiner.
I agree, and that would mean better. I want 2 wins in the tournament.
Ooh,
out of this team.
Blaine wants to get to the
second
weekend.
I want a sweet 16 team.
I feel greedy if I say that, Blaine, because BYU hasn't won a tournament game in the round of 64 since Jimmer Fredette.
Okay, well, let me see. I'm not the only one thinking this.
14 years.
I'm not the only one expecting this. Yeah. So just 2 games to go into a Big 12 tournament, right? And on the Field of 68 podcast, okay, Rob Doster made his pick for who he thinks will win the Big 12 tournament.
I am going to go with BYU, the hottest team in the Big 12. They've now won 6 in a row. They've won 10 of their last 12. They got a lottery pick on the roster. Richie Saunders is playing his best.
Wow.
Is this an overreaction or not? That is my question. Like, he thinks BYU is going to win the Big 12 tournament. I'm not even going there, and I'm trying to keep my blue goggles off a little bit. But is that an overreaction?
Blaine, that take is still hot for me. Just because Houston is such a monster.
So good.
Houston is the best team in the Big 12. Yeah. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, they're... Defensively, they're lights out.
And they have shot makers
this year. And they can make shots. And they can take you into the paint. They can hurt you in the paint. They can shoot the ball. Like, Houston's a one seed, likely. But could BYU get an upset in one game on one night in neutral court?
Sure. Anything's possible get to March.
I'm not picking BYU to win anything, but if they did, I would be flabbergasted, right?
That I appreciate the love from Rob. I am not ready to go there just yet. Yes, BYU is on the heater right now. They are the hottest team in the Big 12 right now, but are they the best team in the Big 12? This is taking nothing away from BYU and Kevin Young. They're incredible. Houston is – they might win the national championship, Lane.
Right. Hey, I'm going to be pumped if BYU gets the 4 seed in the tournament.
They got to beat Iowa State to do so. For me to feel like BYU is going to win the Big 12 tournament, they need the double bye.
Yeah, that's why. So let's see how tomorrow night goes, and then I'll tell you whether I'm jumping.
Okay. I'm right now. I'm saying
if I'm on Rob's bandwagon or not. Yes. Ask me after tomorrow night. If they beat Iowa State on the road and go to 7 in a row, like I will put those blue goggles on and I'll wear them on the next show. The whole show.
Because I don't know that you can. We got to like rig those things up.
They're too wide for my head.
All right. That is an overreaction to me. Okay. Let's keep this overreaction or not game going. BYU will jump into the top 20 of today's AP poll. They were number 25 last week. That means they'll jump at least 5 spots. Overreaction or not?
I don't think they'll jump 5 spots. I'd like to see them trade spots with Arizona and be 22, and Arizona move back to 24 or 25. I think they may move up a spot or two, which I don't think is fair because I think they are a top 20 team right now, but I don't think they will be in this week's AP poll.
I agree. I think best case, BYU's 22. That would be best case.
Yeah, it's just flop with Arizona, right? Arizona's 22 last week. I get it.
If they swung some voters, maybe 22, but I don't think any higher than that.
So, number 25 BYU men's basketball travels to Ames, Iowa to take on the number 9 Iowa State Cyclones for a chance to lock up a double bye, as we've discussed, in a top 4 seed in the Big 12 tournament. Pre-game coverage begins tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio.
Well, if you missed it late Saturday night, then we have got something for you. Blaine goes one-on-one with BYU head coach Kevin Young and big man Foose Traore on the win over the Mountaineers and a look ahead to Iowa State. Stay with us.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Really do just try to go, one game at a time and just win the next game that's in front of us that served us well.
This year we're a lot more dynamic. We have a lot of options.
We have different ways we can score. We're not a one-trick pony.
If coach called my name, I'm just going to make sure I'm ready, We just get it done,
I'm digging that music, and I'm digging how BYU basketball is playing right now. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Blaine Fowler, who was very busy on Saturday night in the Marriott Center tracking down the A-list guest interviews, if you will.
Just filling in for you while you were filling in for me over here. So, after BYU's win over West Virginia, I had a chance to catch up with head coach Kevin Young about how BYU was able to win by 21 despite struggling from the three-point line. I also asked him about what changed in the second half, and we looked forward to Iowa State. Here's my one-on-one conversation with head coach Kevin Young.
Kevin, if I would have told you that you'd go 0-for-4 from three in the first half, and that you'd only make 5 threes in the entire game, would you have said, yeah, that's the game plan, that's what we're going to do in this one?
I mean, we talked about a lot coming into it. I mean, the way we've shot the ball, the 3 games coming into this, we felt like that would probably be the case. So we tried to get ahead of it, had a hard time getting any rhythm in the first half. And then I think that little spurt before halftime, with Richie getting to the rim, that's all we talked about at halftime, which is getting to the basket the way they regard a three-point line. And I mean, we're not a one-dimensional team. Teams have to make a decision on how they want to guard us, and to the tune of 52 points in the second half, the guys figured it out.
Yeah, when it was 10-8 about midway through that first half, I know what I was thinking. I'm going, man, we're on a pace to have a 40-something game. What were you thinking at that point?
Man, we were just trying to find the right package of offense to throw at them. Took us a little while. They got some good guards that can really get up underneath you. And then again, they were just basically daring us to play one-on-one and two-on-two in the middle. Obviously, Foose got it going, Dallin got going. And then, like I mentioned, Yegor and Richie, just their will to get to the rim, I thought was the difference.
It really feels like Dallin and Foose out on the court together. Like, they've got this great connection to one another. When they were on the floor together, Foose was unstoppable, and Dallin was getting him the ball. What about that combo?
Yeah, I mean, their chemistry has been great all year. It's something we, you know, I'm very mindful about trying to pair them together. And if they're going to play Foose one-on-one, and they're usually good things are going to happen.
Defensively, you held this team down, did a great job on small. Talk to me about the defensive effort and what you thought about the effort throughout the whole game.
I mean, Small is one of the most dynamic guards in our league, so he was 5 of 14. You know, I thought what Trey and Mo did individually was really impressive. And then collectively, you know, I thought our guys had a good job in terms of attention to detail of guys we wanted to help off of to show ball Small extra bodies. So it was a good team effort.
When you mentioned that last little run before halftime as maybe a turning point in the game, as you went in at halftime, were you feeling good about things at halftime, or did you feel like there was a lot of work to be done?
I mean, we felt good about finally finding the right recipe of how we want to attack them, you know, with our offense. You know, the defense was incredible. They had 19 points in the first half, so we had to find a, you know, rhythm, like I said. And, you know, like I said, it's hard to score 52 points in a half, so give all our guys all the credit. I thought Yegor just came out with a chip on his shoulder, and kind of that him and Richie to start that second half set the tone.
And it's interesting, you score 52 points, but you don't get it how you normally have gotten it. You were 5 of 7 in the second half from 3, which is remarkable, but that's not in the normal number of attempts for you guys in the second half. Did you imagine you could get 50 points when you were just playing on attack and getting two-pointers?
Well, I mean, they don't have a ton of rim protection as it is, and if they're not going to use their perimeter guys to help limit the paint touches, then, you know, we got, you know, Yegor is 6'9". You know what I mean? He can get downhill. Richie, you know, plays like a madman, feels like he can get to the rim on anybody. So without any real shot blocking down there and the way they were guarding the perimeter, you know, I didn't know it could be that many, but you know, our guys kind of found a way, and we were able to punish them.
As you look at this game in its entirety, like, what stands out to you? What are you most proud of in that one?
I think the defensive effort in the first, really the tale of two halves. First half, it was our defense. You know, second half was, as you mentioned, being able to score in a way that we read the game. So, we have highly intelligent guys in our locker room. So, you know, like I said, we're not a one-trick pony. You know, if teams are going to give us threes, obviously we'll take them. But if they try to take that away, you know, we have other ways we can hurt them.
6 in a row, we'll finish with this. That's not an easy thing to do in this league. What are you feeling about this 6 in a row and now Iowa State on the road?
You know, just a confident group, you know. You know, our guys, you know, we don't look past anything. We try to win the next day. As I like to say, stack days upon each other, and that's exactly what this group's done. I got to get caught up on Iowa State. I've seen them, obviously, you know, them playing teams we're getting ready for, but, you know, I know they have a good program. Their coach is well thought of, and it'll be a fun challenge for our group.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kevin Young, BYU head coach with Blaine Fowler after the game, said a lot of great things in there. Not a one-trick pony. Not a one-trick pony is BYU. Then he used at the end, confident group. I challenge him to win the next day. Stack days is the thing. Like if there were a T-shirt that featured a motto or slogan that this season has become for BYU, it is stack days.
It's funny because people always say, hey, you just have to focus on one game at a time. He doesn't even say that. He has ingrained in the minds of these players, no, we stack days on days, meaning that today's practice is just as important as tomorrow night's game. We stack successful days on top of days. We get better every day in practice, which results in wins on the floor. And then you go out and you win 10 or 12. And that's how you do it. You stack days on days. And you know what I love? You know a theme or a concept has hit home when every player on the team, and you and I get to talk to them all the time, they repeat the phrase. Well, we're just stacking days on days. They all say that. Kevin Young started with this theme at the beginning of the year. Everybody's bought in, and now we hear the players parroting back to us what they believe and what they've internalized. And the results in games are very, very apparent.
Cougars have won 10 of 12. Houston, by the way, has won 21 of their last 22. I just want to see them play again. I don't care how it happens. I would love to see how BYU stacks up on a neutral floor in Kansas City against that team compared to what BYU was, what feels like forever ago.
Right.
Very early in Big 12 play.
I think it would be fun. And by the way, you just kind of casually just said Houston's won 21 of their last 22. That is ridiculous. Like, they're the hottest team in the country right now.
They legitimately might win the
national championship. And they're probably be number three in the country. It's... It's going to be fun. And I would love to see. I like Kevin Young said, basically he's relishing that they just put yes. some film out there that everybody's got to defend everything now because we're not just a one-trick pony. I love that. So speaking of Fuchs, who was phenomenal in this last game, he was dominant. 20 points and 10 boards, a double-double off the bench. After the game, I caught up with Fuchs. We talked about a couple of things. I asked him what the message was at halftime from Coach Young, which is interesting to hear.
Bottle that up.
Yeah. Like, what did he say, right? I asked him about the chemistry with he and Dallin Hall, which he gave us some. He loves Dallin Hall, by the way, you might assume. But
as do I.
His mindset when he's not double-teamed. And we'll talk about that after we hear this. But here's my conversation with Fuchs Traore.
Fuchs, in that first half, yeah. like halfway through, it felt like the game was being played in mud. And you come in off of the bench and start to be effective inside. Like, take us through that process of a game that felt like it was going to be a low-scoring game to what we ended up with.
No, it was crazy, you know, like the way they started the game, you know, they just said they're not going to let us shoot threes, you know. So, if you say we're not going to score on threes, yeah, we're just going to drive, you know. So it was just like a weird first half, you know. But the second half, Coach talked to us, you know, Coach said, let's get to the paint, you know. If they say we're not going to shoot, let's just get to the paint, you know. Like this team, we always figure it out, you know. It's just fun, like how we just have different players who can do different things, you know.
When you guys went in at halftime, they had that little spurt right before halftime that gave you a little bit of separation. Yeah. Was the locker room calm? Did you just have like a calm plan? We're going to come out and we're going to attack? Yeah. Or did Coach get into you guys a little bit?
Yeah, the locker room was calm and told like after, you know, when Coach came in, Coach said, you really cannot feel any energy, you know. He just started pumping us and, you know, saying, man, we got to go, man. We just got to have a little bit more energy and let's come and get it done, you know. So that's what we did, you know. Yeah.
It seems like you and Dallin have quite a chemistry and connection out there. When he's out there, he gets you the ball in good spots. Yeah. Talk to us about that. Do you feel that?
Man, I definitely feel that. I love playing with Dallin Hall, you know. Like, he's just, well, that's what I always tell him, you know. He always make me look like a pro, you know. Like, he just make my job super easy, you know. Like, of course, whenever you get it, if you can steal your guy, it's kind of fine, you know. It's just like, he's the great Dallin Hall, you know. Like, he just know how to play, you know. I'm always grateful for him to play with him, you know.
Yeah. When they spread it out like that and they leave you one-on-one inside, do you feel like, oh, you are not going to stop me? How did that feel in this game to be covered one-on-one?
Oh, man, it's just, if it's one-on-one, like, it's nice, you know. Like, I see, oh, okay, cool. Now let's go to work, you know. Like, I really love playing one-on-one, you know.
Well, 20 points and 10 boards, a double-double for you tonight. A great game. Now let's look forward to Iowa State. What's in store for Iowa State? You got to go on the road. What mindset do you guys have to go with to compete there?
No, it's just the same thing, like what Coach been saying, you know, stack the days up, you know, every day, you know. Like, we're just gonna enjoy this win, and Monday we're just gonna get through Iowa State, you know, and just focus on like what Coach is telling us to do, and go get that done. Very nice, but you know, like the way we're playing is nice, though, you know.
Well, work for six games in a row. Congratulations and good luck on Tuesday. Thanks, Fuchs.
Fuchs Traore, by the way, three games against West Virginia, averaging 17 points and 8 rebounds. He likes playing against the Mountaineers. Yeah. He likes playing in general. Look at these numbers in BYU basketball history. Field goal percentage leaders, Fuchs at the top, 61%, Blaine.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he's at a career-high 62.8 this season.
On the heels of a fantastic performance.
On a great performance. I love, he's got this kind of quiet energy when he gets a chance to talk. He's always happy. He's always upbeat. And I love that he said, Dallin Hall makes me look like a pro. No, Fuchs, you make yourself look like a pro, which is pretty fun. And to the point I made, we're just going to stack days on one another.
Yes.
Like, every player buys in. And that's what they're going to do. So, hey, the final episode of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is this Thursday. As the head coach and a player guest, will look ahead to the regular season finale against Utah and to the upcoming Big 12 and NCAA tournaments. That's 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Let me channel my inner LeBron James here. Not one, not two, not three, but four BYU athletes won Big 12 championships this weekend, plus an undefeated weekend on the diamond. Is BYU baseball quietly really good?
They're back.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B on a winning Monday. I am Spencer Linton. He is Blaine Fowler. It's time for a loaded edition of Monday Headlines.
Let's start with number 25 men's basketball. They won their sixth straight game, beating West Virginia 77-56 on Saturday night. They improved to 21-8 overall and 12-6 in the Big 12, remaining tied for fourth place with Iowa State. Fusene Traore led the Cougars with a 20-point, 10-rebound double-double. Yegor Demon scored 15 points, and Richie Saunders added 13 points. Up next, BYU will play number 9 Iowa State in Ames tomorrow night for a chance to lock up a double bye and a top 4 seed in the Big 12 tournament. Big game tomorrow.
ESPN's Jonathan Givony published his top 100 big board for the 2025 NBA draft, which features, not surprisingly, BYU's Yegor Demon at number 10 overall, Cannon Catchings at number 52 overall, BYU's last NBA draft pick, Jimmer Fredette, as the number 9 overall pick back in 2011. Now, wait, he was number 10, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, number 10. Number 10 overall pick. Interesting, no Richie Saunders sighting. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. How about women's basketball? They lost in heartbreaking fashion at Utah on Saturday night, 76-73.
Oh, I hate it so much.
In overtime on a half-court buzzer beater. Are you kidding me?
Delaney Gibb was incredible.
Oh, my goodness. Despite the loss, she goes for a career-high 36 points to go along with 10 rebounds and 5 assists. She's been everything advertised and then some. Up next, 12-seed BYU will play 13-seed UCF in the opening round of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City on Wednesday. Remember, the women's tournament starts this week.
Let's go. Get it done. BYU baseball continues to just quietly win games.
I love it.
This is incredible. They sweep Gonzaga, the old West Coast Conference foe, in Spokane over the weekend, capped with a dominant 17-8 win on Saturday. 17-plus for the series. BYU outscored the Zags 40-16. They're 7-4 on the season. The Backcats have their 2025 home opener against Stetson on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's been beautiful weather, and now it's supposed to snow all week. So we'll see about that
one. Springtime in Utah.
Softball went 4-0 at the Libby Mattson tournament this weekend to improve to 14-4 on the season. The Cougars hit a total of 10 home runs while outscoring their opponents 37-6 across the four games. Up next, BYU opens Big 12 play with a three-game series at Arizona State starting on Thursday.
Huge, huge games to open up conference play. BYU really good. They need some meat on that resume. This provides that. Number 2 women's track and field finished second, and the men's team took third place at the Big 12 Indoor Championships. Casey Klinger and Lexi Halliday-Lowry each took first place in the 5K, and Riley Chamberlain, the Big 12 champion, in the mile. Up next for both teams, the NCAA Indoor National Championships beginning Friday, March 14th.
Men's swim and dive took fifth place, while the women's took seventh place at the Big 12 Championships. Some notable performances from BYU include Mackenzie Miller-Lung, who became BYU's women's swim and dive first ever Big 12 individual title winner by winning the 200 breast, breaking her own school record in the process. And on the men's side, the 400 free relay team of Nathaniel Eliason, Peyton Plum, Tanner Nelson, and Luigi Riva broke the school record and took third place.
Congratulations. How about this from BYU Gymnastics? They score a season-high 196.775, rocking the BYUSN Karma, no less. They do it on senior night at the Marriott Center on Friday night. Blaine, they beat their previous season high by almost a full point, which is unheard of at
That's
this
like
time of year.
That's like 30 in basketball, right?
Yes. It's like you score 75 as your season high, and then you go out and put up 108.
Right, exactly.
Like, what?
Exactly.
What?
Awesome.
Three Cougars scored a 9-9 or better, including Anna Brown the Wild on bars, Brinley Anderson, the beam queen, 9-9-2-5 on that beam, and Kylie Aquinto with a 9-9-2-5 on the floor. BYU travels to Tucson to compete against Arizona on Saturday.
Men's tennis split two home matches over the weekend, losing to Denver on Friday. Keep in mind, that snapped a BYU seven-game win streak. They were on fire. BYU bounced back on Saturday. They beat Air Force 5-2. Men's tennis getting it done.
And BYU women's tennis dropped to 0-2 in Big 12 play after winning 9 matches before that. They lose at number 23 Arizona State on Saturday. Those Arizona schools, really, really good in tennis. Good measuring stick for BYU. Still to come, how Richie Saunders' creed helps guide him not only as a basketball player, but as a man. If you have not seen this Deep Blue, you need to watch it. Frank, have you seen it already? You're going to want to watch it again.
One of my favorites ever.
BYUSN. This is BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Blaine Fowler. I am Spencer Linton. Richie Saunders' relationship with BYU basketball began by attending games with his grandfather. His desire to play basketball at BYU helped him establish a creed that guides him not just as a player, but as a man as well. This is Deep Blue with Richie Saunders.
Sitting at the top of the stands with my grandpa, I remember he had his binoculars, his headset in, locked into the game. I really remember being right up against the top wall. When I was young up here, it really meant so much. It was such an emotional thing. It was like, it was more than just, oh, that game's over. Like you would carry it with you, right? Like I can remember it was being, I was at my grandparents' house and watching a game. We lost, BYU lost, and I was so frustrated. I remember taking off my BYU shirt and walking home and just in tears of just, why did they have to lose, you know? Like something about that had to stir me in the direction of playing here.
I would teach him to visualize who you want to play for and practice to be good enough to play for that. And that's how we kind of got it started. And I remember there was one time when I was helping him to visualize, he said, I want to play for BYU. And knowing how nearly impossible it is to become a Division I elite athlete, we set up expectations. If he wanted to do it, it would require more work than he's ever imagined putting into it. And if you're willing to pay the price, you might have a chance. And so he did. He went for it.
Me and my dad, every morning, 5 a.m., we'd be in the gym, in the church gym, shooting and practicing. That was like our little time together. He was very busy growing up, but that was one thing he made time for. And it was time where we were able to connect daily and just grow as a person and as a basketball player.
That's better. It's a million times better.
There were many times when he would be in tears. Like, literally, I can picture him just sobbing, not wanting to take another shot because he can't figure out how to make a basket.
I can remember him looking at me and just, you know, kindly but strongly telling me, get up and keep shooting. There was those times, those decision points constantly growing up where I had to decide if this really was what I wanted to do. I didn't, you know, I wanted it to be true that I could play here, but I didn't know if that was true. I didn't know if that was even a possibility. But, you know, we just kept working. Me and my dad, me and my mom, and we just kept chipping away at it.
One of the concerns that we had as he was starting to excel was, how do you establish an internal value system that you adhere to? And so that's where we created what we called a creed.
The creed was just who I was and who I was gonna be no matter what happened. You know, I'm not perfect at that at all, but it's who I want to be.
The first one is take the time and energy to elevate the one in the moment. No matter what I accomplish on or off the court, always remember I am no more important than others. No one will question my commitment to the team and to the game. Trust in the 5 a.m.s. It is who I am, so be me.
Be relentless in my work ethic. Find the joy in the now. Serve at every possible opportunity. Take the time to connect with God daily and protect the family name.
He anticipated he would be successful. He wanted to be successful. And I think because of absorbing these into his character, they literally shaped the evolution of who he has become.
This past spring, changing coaches here, and you know, like that left me and Sierra in like a spot of like such uncertainty. Are we gonna stay here at BYU? Are we gonna go somewhere else? You know, like it like brought us together like nothing else. You know, like during that really hard period, we just had to rely so much on each other and so much on God to figure it out.
It really showed me a lot about Richie and his desire to, obviously we had choice and we have our agency, but we wanted to do what we felt like God wanted us to do.
Making that decision, it wasn't some miraculous, like huge light that came to us, right? Like it was just the smallest of nudges. We were sitting in a taxi in Guatemala when I just felt this little nudge. And I turned to Sierra and explained that, like, I feel like I need to be here. And she turned and said the same thing.
Now that we are here and that we followed that small, quiet prompting, we really feel like we're supposed to be here, and we're so happy with the program and the coaches and what Coach Young is doing, and we really see how God played a part in helping us make that decision.
I play hard out there, right? And every day, every game, I'm praying. I need God's help to help me to play hard. I want people to see how I play and to see God and God's influence in somebody's life. I want to do that because God has blessed me with this opportunity.
What this school represents for him, he wants to win here. It means a lot for him to win at BYU.
We were walking through the Marriott Center a couple games ago, and everybody was walking around, and it was exciting, you know, that pre-game excitement, and just thinking, oh, my dad would be so excited to be here.
He would be ear-to-ear grin and walking around as the proudest grandpa in the world.
Yeah.
He really would be. BYU and my grandson, put those together, there is no greater nirvana than that.
That's probably so true. He'd be so excited to be watching Richie. And then I thought, he probably is.
There's a lot of young fans that I see after games, and I want them to understand that if they want to play here and play college basketball, they can. If you're willing to just work and willing to sacrifice for your future, for your dreams, I really do believe that it's a possibility. Again, there's nothing crazy unique about me. I just had a dream, and I worked really hard for it over the course of 2 decades almost. You know, there's so many people around us that are there to help us. And that's my story, is I'm a result of a lot of incredible people around me that have carried me along and that have helped me to really believe that I can achieve my dreams.
Richie Saunders, just awesome.
To say the least.
Yep. If you miss any interviews, shows, or deep blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
After the break, we will appropriately finish what has been a high-energy Winning Monday show with a loaded rise and shout-out to multiple young superstars shining brightly on Saturday. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day, which is, has BYU men's basketball already accomplished more this year than last year's team? Why or why not? At Nathaniel_Millie on X answers, a win at Iowa State would make it at worst equal with more upside. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from Charles Chamberlain on X, who says, no, but the season isn't over. In my opinion, BYU has the potential to do more this year than BYU has the potential to do last year at the same point in this season. Now, I would like to add from at It's a Jelly One, BYU installed a new coach, no experience college, new staff, new offense, new defense, new players. Last year's team didn't have to do any of that. They have accomplished way more, in his opinion, but talking only wins and losses, there's more to come.
Yeah, get an NCAA tournament win and everything is better, right?
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
A couple of young 8-year-old superstar girls put on a show at the Marriott Center on Saturday night.
Amazing.
Incredible. Lucy Llewellyn singing the national anthem. She killed it. She brought the house down. Unbelievable. And then Olivia Nader. Oh, my goodness. Make-A-Wish honoree Cougarette. Look at her go. I met her before the game. Incredible story. And what an unbelievable night for these two.
Look at her. She's crushing it.
These two 8-year-olds. They brought the house down. Congratulations. Our shout out goes to Lucy and Olivia. Amazing.
How great is she as a dancer?
She is so good. And it was such a special night. Wow.
Olivia.
Wow. Special night all around.
Yeah. Talk about motivating. Battling cancer. Make-A-Wish honoree Cougarette. That's what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right now, I'd put her in the lineup.
Yeah.
I'd put her in the lineup.
And I have to say, Lucy steps up, she starts singing, and the house just goes dead quiet, and everybody's like, what is going on? So amazing.
That's the second time Lucy's done the national anthem, but that crowd, was unlike anything I'm sure that she's ever seen.
Yes.
All right, our thanks to today's guests, Kevin Young and Foose Traore.
Yeah, sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time as usual. The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand, BYUSN.
You know the drill. For Blaine, I'm Spencer. Go Cougs!